Gaslight guttered in the chill springtime wind coming through a loose lattice frame. The glass moved slightly, dancing the flame and causing a slight whistle just at the edge of hearing. Most people would have found it audible enough to be irritating, but the solitary figure in the library barely noticed, for he yearned for a different song. It was a maddening song, a captivating song. He could not quite hear the refrain, and yet he knew he was not worthy of it. This was a song which had haunted him for more than a dozen years, and haunted him still. A small gilt-edged book fell from his fingers and thudded to the floor, rousing the man abruptly from his reverie. Desperately he scrabbled for it, as though it were a precious jewel as it slid beneath his chair. Of all the books in the large library of the Chateau Marguerite, this small, thin, faded book was his favourite, and the only one he read. Of little material worth, it was, to the reader, a jewel beyond comparison, and he cradled it to him. Raoul wept. So absorbed was he that he did not even hear the sound of his children singing in another part of the house. Startling as the door opened, Raoul almost dropped the book once again and turned abruptly towards the servant who'd entered laden with a tray.
"I knocked, Monsieur Comte, but you must have not heard. Beef tea, Madame Fleur's best. She said you were to get some colour back in those cheeks. You know how she fusses."
The young maidservant hesitated at the haunted look, and placing the silver tray on the nearby table, she looked down.
"You know how she is, Monsieur. She thinks of you like a son. I'll leave you in peace. I'm sorry to have bothered you."
Raoul watched her listlessly. He was, however, a man of breeding, and he could not be angry with her. So he replied,
"Merci, Amélie. Madame should not fuss so. I am a grown man with a family. Now, good night."
Raoul, Comte de Chagny, master of Chateau Marguerite, and the richest man in the area, sighed and walked slowly to the steaming bowl, brought to him by a rather frightened girl and provided by a woman who had been far more than servant to him. After the death of his parents, Raoul's elder brother, the late Comte Philippe, had raised him among a gaggle of sisters and overprotective servants. Philippe, too, had been dead these 12 years. Many said it had been simply an unfortunate accident. Theirs was an unlucky family, despite their wealth. Raoul knew the truth, or at least believed he did. Philippe had been murdered. His hand tightened on the silver spoon, and he stopped eating, trying to stop the tremor and the anger. That time was gone. The memories and the past would destroy him. She'd told him that. Christine. Even now, Raoul found it hard to say her name, so raw was his grief and his shame, although he'd never admit that to a living soul. In the disorder of his nightmares, Raoul often blamed himself for Philippe's death. And hers. But worse than that, he sought the music. The music that had taken his soul and replaced it with emptiness. That music he needed, but had stolen unknowingly when he listened at the dressing room door. Of course, then he hadn't known it. But those songs had taken him as much, if not more than, it had taken Christine. He lived with mere echoes of a song, but she'd held it, loved it, lived it. And Raoul had been so terribly jealous. As the years passed without her and without that music, the more Raoul wondered which of them he'd loved the greater, and afraid he knew the answer.